faith, or are we falling behind? And sometimes we get distracted, don't we? Is anybody distracted right now? Be a fair question, right? But we get distracted, and the world tugs at us, and it pulls at us, and Satan throws darts at us, and sometimes we get so low that maybe we even forget what Jesus did for us, or who he promises us that he is. And God knew these times would come, and he knows that we need to be reminded. That's why one reason we take part in the Lord's Supper, it helps us remember and to focus on who Jesus is and what he did. But another way God reminds us of who he is and who his son is in his word. And we've been looking at the Gospel of John in the I am statements. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. And last time we looked at his statement where he tells us, I am the good shepherd. And today we're going to look at his statement where he tells us, I am the resurrection and the life. Imagine for a moment that you are really good friends with the best doctor in the world. I mean, this guy has it all together. He knows all kinds of stuff about medicine. He's the best doctor that anyone has ever seen. And also imagine that you have a brother who's just been diagnosed with a very terrible disease, a very rare disease. But you don't have to worry because your friend, the doctor, specializes in this very disease, and he can cure your friend. So what do? You send for him, right? You say, come and tend to my brother. But imagine that, you know your friend is really your friend. He loves you, you love him, you're very close. He loves your family. But when he gets word that your brother is sick with this terrible disease, for whatever reason, he doesn't rush to his bedside. As a matter of fact, he decides to go to another town and visit some other friends when he gets this word. And after a few days, your brother dies. And it seems like it's all over. How disappointed would you be with your doctor friend? Think about that for a moment. How hurt would you be that your friend didn't come? Well, this is basically the same setting that we see for the next I am statement that Jesus makes. Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus is dying. And Jesus gets word, but he doesn't just drop everything and immediately run to his side. As a matter of fact, you know when Jesus comes? 4 days after Lazarus had already died. I remember as a kid, I always thought about the department store when I'd hear this story. Y'all remember that? Lazarus department store? Those have been long gone, haven't they? Wow, time really does move fast. But anyway, so Lazarus is dead. And we read in John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So Martha basically says, hey, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. He wouldn't be lying in that tomb. And in verse 23, Martha tells Lazarus, or Jesus in verse 23 tells Martha that Lazarus will rise again, and Martha says, yeah, Jesus, I know that. It's going to come sometime way off on the last day. By the way, Mary also says a similar thing to Jesus in verse 32. But the basis for Martha's answer to Jesus in verse 24 opens the door for this next I am statement. When Jesus tells Martha that Lazarus is going to rise again, he had something in mind that Mary and Martha couldn't even comprehend at this point in their lives. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Martha. And from here we see Jesus is the resurrection. You know, this sadness, this hurt, this disappointment, Martha's feeling that right now. And put yourself in her shoes. You'd be feeling it too. But even after she told Jesus, I know he'd still be alive if you'd be here, she still says in John chapter 11, 22, but even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. It almost sounds like she's holding out hope that he's going to go to the Father on her behalf and do something about this. But Jesus was wanting to get Martha to move her faith, to move her faith beyond just believing some abstract belief in the resurrection that's going to come at some point. He wanted Martha to move her faith to believing and trusting in him right now. She knows one day this resurrection is going to happen. But Jesus wants her to embrace this reality that it's definitely going to happen. And guess what, Martha? I'm right here with you. I am the resurrection. As Jesus asked this question to Martha concerning the fact that Lazarus was going to rise again, he already knew what it was he's going to do. And church, let that be a comfort to you this morning in whatever situations you're facing. When you're praying to God, when you're asking for him to intervene, when you're seeking an answer, God already knows what it is he's going to do. Does that give you some comfort to know that the answer is already out there and the God that you love and serve and follow already has that answer? It may not turn out the way we want. It may not turn out the way we like. It may not turn out the way we think is best. But guess what? His answers are good, and his answers are real. As he was asking questions to Martha, he already knew what he was going to do. Martha spoke of a resurrection in the future that really gave her no comfort right now since her brother just died. But as she focuses on the distant future, Jesus tells her and he tells us, I am the resurrection. I am the I in the I am statement, he says. But this future resurrection Martha was thinking of would only come through Jesus. And again, that's just more evidence that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the resurrection. There's no one else. And he has the power that raises the dead and gives eternal life. Amen? Amen. God gives us so many promises. One of my favorite, though, is found in John chapter 10, verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen. That's exactly right. No matter what you're struggling with today, and we all struggle, put that verse to memory if you're a Christian. This world takes stuff from us, right? We've all lost stuff. We've all lost out. We're going to lose more in the future. I hate to tell you that, but it's the truth about life. But that's a promise from God. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. But Jesus knows that Martha's disappointed. He knows she's mourning. He assures her there's going to be a resurrection, and I am the one who's going to make it happen. Jesus says not only is he the resurrection, but he's also the life. It's kind of like peanut butter. You guys like peanut butter? I love peanut butter. You can do a lot with peanut butter. But when you put peanut butter with jelly, it's just unbeatable, isn't it? Don't you love that? Well, this is kind of the same thing. The resurrection is awesome, and it gives us hope. It's where we find our hope. But when you put the resurrection with the life, it's unbeatable. And that's who Jesus says he is. I am the resurrection and the life. We've talked all summer about this life that he gives us. He didn't just come to give us as Christians an okay life or a mediocre life, but he came to give us an abundant life, a full life. Think about that. And this life he's speaking of here when he's talking to Martha is both about now and the future. If we want the eternal life, then we get to, not have to, but we get to live the life right now. That life is found in Jesus. He gives us the example to follow. This life, what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the life? What does it mean when he says he came to give us a life that's abundant? Well, I think it means both a quality of life here and now, but also a quantity of life that never ends. This life Jesus wants us to have is more than just existing. Do you ever feel like you're just existing? I've felt like that before. I just go through my day-to-day routine. I go to work. I do my job. I come home. And we get in this rut sometimes where we're just existing. Guess what? God sent his son to die on that cross to give you so much more than that. And we need to remember that. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Living the life that Jesus talks about means living a life with purpose. A life with a purpose that is greater than ourselves. It means a life worth something. A life lived with purpose. You guys like Switchfoot? You ever heard of the band Switchfoot? They sing a song called Live It Well. And it came out several years ago. I'm not going to sing, so you can relax. But I just want to share a few lyrics from this song because they're great. Life is short. I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well, and you're the one I'm living for. Awaken, oh my soul, every breath that you take is a miracle. Life is short, I want to live it well. I want to sing with all my heart a lifelong song, even if some notes come out right and some come out wrong. Because I can't take none of that through the door. Yeah, I'm living for more than just a funeral. Life is short, I want to live it well. I love that last verse, or that last line. I'm living for more than just a funeral. What are you living for? What is your life's purpose? Are you living a full life? Or are you just getting by? Are you living a life just to go to work every day and make money? Are you living a life to just take care of your stuff? Are you living a life for your family? Or are you living the full, abundant life with purpose that your Savior died to give you? This life, if you really want to live, it can only come through Jesus and following his example and living for others and serving others and showing others the way to him, that light Jesus says he is, reflecting that. You know, this quality or the quantity of life deals with the time we enjoy life. And if we're Christians, that's forever. But it's also a quality of life. Now remember our context here. Martha's brother just died because Jesus wasn't there. And he didn't come till 4 days later. And through this, we see that Jesus, the resurrection and the life, defeated spiritual death or physical death. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. So here's Martha at the tomb of her brother. He'd been in there 4 days, and she's listening to Jesus say, if you believe in me, then you will live. Jesus is saying that even though one may die, if they believe in me, they live. John chapter 5, verse 24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Physical death is not the end for the Christian. It's a life that we have. It's living that we have. And physical death can't touch it. Think about that. Physical death can't stop it. Death will not keep the believer from experiencing eternal life. Lazarus had been a believer in Jesus, and even though he died, he would live. Every believer who has died will live. Every believer who is still living will eventually die a physical death. But guess what? We live. We know these things. Do we focus on them? Do we allow them to give us comfort? You know, Christ didn't promise the prevention of a physical death, but he did guarantee that when we're obedient to him, we live an abundant life, a life with him for eternity. Death will not keep us from experiencing eternal life, because your Lord and Savior, he defeated that on the cross. Let's take another look at John 11:26. Jesus says, "And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Jesus asks. Through Jesus, we are allowed, we are blessed, we're privileged to defeat spiritual death. As Lazarus is rotting in the tomb, he's been in there 4 days, Jesus says, ask Martha if she believes that everyone who lives will never die. And this seems like an odd question to ask somebody who's going through something like that, doesn't it? What Jesus is really saying is that when we believe, we will not die spiritually, but we live spiritually. One of my favorite passages in all scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:55-58. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We can have eternal life through Jesus. That's why he went to the cross. Death no longer conquers us. And Jesus looks at Martha at the end of verse 26 and he says, do you believe this? Again, as her brother is in the tomb, it's a tough spot to put her in. And Martha responds in John chapter 11, verse 27. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Let me paraphrase what I believe she's saying. Jesus, I'm having a hard time here. My emotions are running high. I'm mourning the loss of my brother. And you know what? I probably don't have a very good understanding of all these things you've just said, but I believe in you, and I trust you, and I'm going to listen to you. I believe that's what she's saying here. Yes, Lord, I know you're the Messiah who has come into the world. And doesn't that need to be our answer to Jesus? I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of stuff in this world I don't understand. Am I alone? There's a lot of things I just don't get. There's a lot of things that happen that I don't know why. And there's a lot of things I'm never going to understand. There's probably even more things I'm not willing to understand. But you know what? I believe Jesus, and I trust him. And that needs to be our answer. That needs to be our prayer. God, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I trust you. I believe in you. Martha leaves to go get her sister Mary, and Mary comes out and basically tells Jesus the same thing. You know what, Jesus, if you'd been here, our brother would still be alive. And the scene here is getting worse, and people are upset, and they're crying, and we even see Jesus in his compassion weeping for Lazarus. John 11:35, the shortest verse in all of Scripture. What is it? Jesus wept, exactly. Didn't know there'd be a pop quiz, did you? So things are getting bad, and Jesus told Martha what he meant about the resurrection and the life and the promise concerning never dying. But this is all against the backdrop of Lazarus' tomb. To make a long story short, I know it's not 9:10, but to make a long story short, Jesus asked where they laid Lazarus. And he asked then that the stone be rolled away. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 39. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus has said he's the resurrection I am the resurrection and the life, he tells him. And through this, he proves it. He says, Lazarus, come out. And here's Lazarus, alive and well, wrapped in his grave clothes, walking out of the tomb. Can you imagine what that would have been like to be there? Can you imagine the chills that would have gone from the tips of your toes to the top of your head when you see something like that? Do you want to experience the resurrection and the life today? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. A home in heaven, a home for eternity, can only be found through him. Peace, hope, and joy, even in times of distress, can be found in him. Do you want that in your life? If you've never come to Jesus and put him on in baptism to become a Christian, don't wait. There's nothing better. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you've lost sight of what it means to follow Jesus, if you've lost sight of what it is that he even came to do, then get reacquainted with him today. You know, I love in John chapter 11, verse 44, Jesus, the last thing he says here is, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Has anybody in here ever felt like you're wearing grave clothes? Maybe you've been away from God for a while. Maybe it seems like he's far off because you've moved. Maybe it seems like this world has you wrapped up in grave clothes and you're ready to throw in the towel. You know what? As a Christian, you have the opportunity to be renewed every day by Jesus. And he'll say the same thing to you. Take off that grave clothes, those grave clothes, and go. That's what he said to Lazarus. He saved Lazarus' life. And he'll do the same for you today. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.